earth, and sky.
I think for the Phoenix mission, for many millions of people, this was the thrill of their life, and being able to go with us to Mars and experience it firsthand through our robotic spacecraft.
You're listening to Peter Smith, principal investigator of the Phoenix Mars mission, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. At a science meeting, Smith gave Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar an update on the Phoenix lander's exploration of the red planet.
So give us an update here. It's 5 months after landing on Mars. What has the Phoenix lander found?
Well, we found a whole lot of things. We came to a site that we thought would have ice. We found ice, and for the first time, we've been able to find the chemistry and the minerals that are associated with ice in the northern plains. And what we're seeing is an array of chemicals that on the Earth would be considered important for life. Perchlorate is an energy source for life on the Earth, and we see a range of salts that we'd think of as nutrients. You know, you'd get them in your mineral pill in the morning. And so these are the kind of systems that we would expect on the Earth would be habitable. On Mars, there's no liquid water associated with this site today. And so what we've done is we found that some of the minerals in the soil were created through the action of liquid water. The problem is, and why we can't just say this was a wet environment in the past, is we also see that these soils are easily moved by the wind. They could have come in from somewhere else. And the other thing we're doing is we're making a very careful assessment of the modern polar water cycle. And intel models that we're going to use to go back in time and look for this wetter environment, to make those models, first we have to make sure they model today accurately. And until now, people haven't known what the polar weather is like on the surface. And we are seeing some very surprising things with the interaction of water in the atmosphere with the surface.
And this mission is different than missions in the past that maybe listeners are more familiar with?
Yes, this is quite a bit different, and it's mostly because of the location we landed. In a sense, Viking had an arm, Viking had a camera, they had instruments. It's a similar type of a remote laboratory, and there's a reason why it's similar, because it's got all the human capabilities. We're anthropogenic, you know. We look for things with the way we're used to seeing them, so we build robotic missions that are kind of human-like, an arm, taste, sense, smell, touch. All of these sensors are very similar to human sensors, and that's the way we explore, and we've done it all along.
Your colleague Aaron Zent talked earlier about the tilt of Mars, mm-hmm. and how that supports the what he described as film-like things of water at the Martian surface. What's happening there? What's significant about that?
Well, it turns out on the Earth that life is very clever. And even if you have water vapor coming through soil, or if you have salts that are attracting water to them, microbes can find a way to use that water. They're just very clever. So we have done an experiment last year and went to Antarctica, where it never rains, where we have ice under the ground, and we have maybe a little bit of snow blowing in, but it doesn't melt, it evaporates. And so we have the driest soils and coldest soils we can find on Earth, and yet we find microbes living in the ice about 2 feet below the surface. Where are they getting their liquid water? So, you know, they're very clever. They can actually attach water molecules to their cell walls. And so Martian life may be that clever, too. So we're looking at even the thinnest vaporous films of water within the soil that are attached to little grains of dust and sand.
You know, one of the big questions I think that scientists hope to answer is whether Mars once had life.
Well, I think the perchlorate as a potential energy source for Martian life is brand new. Certainly wasn't known before our mission. The idea that the polar plains could in the past have been a wetter environment and supported life, I think we're trying to build the case for that. We don't quite have it yet. But we're on a path to trying to find a time in recent Mars history, not ancient Mars history, which I think we've done fairly well. 3.5-4 billion years ago, the Mars was wet. But we're looking just back a few million years. And if Mars could have been wet in the polar regions at that time, then I think we need to send another mission. But first, we got to make the case.
You know, in addition to scooping up Martian soil and analyzing it, you talked about how the Phoenix lander watered a little bit of Martian ground. I believe that's what you said. Yeah, so why did it do this?
Well, we couldn't wait the 2 or 3 million years for Mars to get wet again. So we thought, in order to assess the properties of the soil when it's wet, we'd bring water with us and actually just wet the soil and measure its properties. Is it toxic? Is it acid? Is it, you know, alkaline? Nobody could tell us ahead of time. In fact, we were told it would be acidic with a lot of sulfates. Instead, we see that it's alkaline with carbonates. Totally different than what we were expecting to find. Our instruments weren't designed for that contingency, and so fortunately they worked fairly well anyway, but you know, we were expecting sulfates.
One last question, and I'll let you wrap up. You talked about ice clouds and snowfall near the lander. What's happening there?
Well, we watched for, I think, 90 sols, and every day we saw dust in the atmosphere, more or less, you know, is changeable with the winds, and we thought that would be all we'd see. And then on sol 90 or 91, all of a sudden there's clouds, and we can tell they're ice clouds, and then they get thicker, and then they're forming at night quite thick, and we see snow coming out of them, and we see ground fogs, and all of a sudden the weather has just made a dramatic change from one day to the next. And throughout the rest of the mission, we've been tracking ice clouds and ground fogs and snow, frost on the ground. It would have been great to go for another 3 or 4 months and actually see the CO2 ice come in. But clearly, Martian weather goes through, it's like throwing a switch. All of a sudden, it's doing something you haven't seen before and is not in the models.
Thank you for your time today. I appreciate it. Dr. Smith, now, what is the most important thing that you would like the public to know today?
Well, we're only about a quarter of the way through our analysis phase, so we have lots of science to sift through, laboratory experiments to support more results. We're still trying to answer the question of, are there organics in the soil? That would be a huge step forward in looking for habitability. And the other thing is, you know, missions aren't only judged by their science, but sometimes for the thrill of the mission, the Apollo mission, who can remember what the science was, but the thrill of landing on the moon was tremendous. And I think for the Phoenix mission, for many millions of people, this was the thrill of their life, and being able to go with us to Mars and experience it firsthand through our robotic spacecraft.
You've been listening to research scientist Dr. Peter Smith of the University of Arizona, principal investigator of NASA's Phoenix Mars mission. He spoke to EarthSky at a meeting of the American Geophysical Union. To subscribe to this and other free science podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird, and you're listening to EarthSky's Clear Voices for Science.
We're at earthsky.org.